hope you're having a really, really good day. I hope you know how much you're loved, how much you're celebrated. You are a choice, a chosen son and daughter of the Most High God. You are loved by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we are growing together and learning together, we are understanding that we live in union with the Trinity. We live in union, this non-ending circle, this non-ending dance that we enjoy with God. Isn't that great? God has included you in his life. He has included you in joy and peace, righteousness, right thinking, right standing. God has included you, which was the whole purpose of Jesus being slain before the foundation of the earth, was so that you would be included in the finished work of the cross. You would be included in God. It is, after all, Christ in you that is the hope of the world, the hope for your family, the hope for your workplace, the hope for your neighborhood, the hope for your favorite gas station, your favorite bar and grill, restaurant, wherever it is you eat, wherever it is you hang out. It is, after all, the Christ in you that is the hope for everyone that you will encounter there. In fact, it is the Christ in you that is the hope for your city, for your community, geographically. I believe that because you are a son and a daughter of God, manifested in this dimension, manifested in this earth, that because you are here, because you are where you are, that the very place where you are is blessed. That very place has the favor of God on it, has the hand of God on it. So if you're living in a city, that city is being blessed right now because you are living there, right? If you're living out like I am, out in the country, that means that this rural area that I'm living in is blessed because I am here. Isn't that great? That is absolutely great. So I've been hoping, I hope that you've been doing really well. In the last few days, I've celebrated a birthday. My mom and dad celebrated their 50th anniversary on the same day that I celebrated my 49th. 49. I don't know who I'm trying to hide it from, because I'm learning that I'm going to live forever anyway. So what does it matter how old I am, right? So I'm enjoying this new season of my life, this new phase of my life. My mom and dad, like I said, are celebrating. They're in their 50th year together. Just celebrated 50 years of marriage, and so thankful for everybody that sent well wishes to them, who came by to see them, who celebrated them in whatever way you did. Thank you. For that. And then I don't know when you'll actually be watching this video, but at the time of the recording, tomorrow, May 6th, is my wife's birthday. So we're celebrating Shaylee, the singing, prophesying, laughing, crying, clown anointed. Yeah, she's an awesome human being, and she floods my life with joy and laughter and wisdom every single day of my life. And she's celebrating her birthday, so you get a chance, make sure you say hello to her and wish her a happy birthday. If you're sending gifts, her size is $100 bills. That's her favorite is money. She's actually not materialistic at all. But I guarantee you, if you send money, she'll make good use of it, and it'll be a blessing to her. But if you just want to say happy birthday to her, hello, we're really praying. I just want to pray for you right now before we talk about any scripture. I just bless your name, Jesus. I bless you, Father. I bless you, Holy Spirit, that you have included us in the perichoresis, this circle dance that we are having with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you that you love us emphatically. Thank you that you love us so much that you created this life for us, this opportunity for us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for resurrecting for us. Thank you for ascending for us. And thank you for seating yourself back at the right hand of your Father and allowing us to be seated in heavenly places with you in that place. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the life you give us. Thank you for joy in the midst of what may be considered sorrow to some. Thank you, Lord, that we are never alone, that you see us, that you feel us, that you are touched by the feeling of our infirmities. So we thank you for that, Lord, and I pray a special blessing over my family and my friends right now, that they would know the love of God in new ways. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to read Romans 8 to you at the moment. Listen, I'm spending a lot of time in John, 17. Spent a lot of time in the book of John. Spent a lot of time in 1 John. I'm spending a lot of time learning about the love, the grace, the mercy of God. But not more than just that, but understanding identity. So much about what is going on in my life right now and what's going on in the body of Christ. What's going on is we have sons and daughters that are waking up all over the earth right now to who we actually are. You know, we've been called Christians. We've been called a lot of things, right? Church folks. We've been called a lot of things. But what we've really failed to understand so much is that we are that, sons and daughters of God. We are manifested right here in this realm. And so because we're here, God is here. Because we're here, God is here. I want you to understand that. Because you are where you are, God is there. And God is bringing through your life and through your existence a lot of hope. And I just feel like I need to go ahead and start saying some stuff like this. There are a lot of you who feel alone, who feel like you're washed up. You feel like it's the end. You feel like you're a hopeless case. You've experienced loss. You've experienced some shame and you've experienced some regret. I know about all of these things. I know about shame. I know about regret. I know about loss. I know what it's like for my whole world to be on fire and for me to turn around and look and realize that I'm the one that lit the match. I know what it's like to be on the outside of a world that you thought for sure you would always be on the inside. If you're like me, you know, I've found myself falling into sin more than one time down through the years, falling into a lifestyle that was not befitting a pastor or a worship pastor or a man of God. And because I fell into those things and made those decisions, I often found myself outside of the body of Christ or found myself outside of a ministry position, if you will. But so much of my life, I've just come to realize in the last few days that so many times when you're set up for failure and you believe you're a failure and you believe that you cannot have nice things, that the best is not for you, it's for other people. When you believe that you're a sinner saved by grace, when that's what you believe about yourself, guess what you begin to do? You begin to embrace a life of sin. You begin to embrace a life of failure because you don't understand your true identity. My friend, you are not a sinner saved by grace. That's not in here. That is not God's plan for your life. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You are either in Christ or you're not in Christ. And I'm here to challenge you to think differently. I'm here to challenge you to embrace a different concept about your identity. All right, so let's start it with Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death. So, first of all, realize that the law of the Spirit of life has liberated you from the law of sin and death. There's a higher law that is in power in your life that has the ultimate authority, and that is the law of the Spirit of life. That is life, not sin and death. The law of sin and death is who you identified yourself as for a long time. You identified yourself as a life as a sinner. You identified you. I'm just a sinner. And so because you identified yourself as a sinner, you lived a life of sin. You identified as a person that was dying. And so because you believed from the moment that you started living that you were dying, then guess what you did? You began to participate in the activity of death. And I have been there, and I've experienced this, where just death was hanging over me. Just death was walking everywhere I walked. If I went to Walmart, death walked with me. I wanted to die. I felt like I should die. I was in the worst depression. And then, of course, when my daughter passed away a couple of years ago, that began to come back on me. Even though I knew she was going to die, you know, if you've been around me long enough or been listening to me at all, then you know my story, but I'll still share it in the coming days. But I just want you to know that I begin to buy into this concept of sin and buy into the concept of death. When you believe that you're a screw up, when you believe that you're a failure, you know what you'll do? You'll yoke yourselves if you want to serve God, which I always want to serve God, and I feel called to the Lord. And even though I've made a lot of mistakes, I'd still know the call of God on my life and the anointing on my life. And so because of that, I would yoke myself to ministers and leaders who were very strong, very dominating, if they needed to be or felt like they needed to be in my life, dominating and controlling, because after all, I couldn't be trusted to make good decisions. And I'm saying that from my own perspective. And because I didn't believe that I was trustworthy, and because I didn't believe that I really was the righteousness of God walking around in the earth, that I really was the righteousness of God, then I would participate in unrighteousness. As a man thinks, so is he, right? That's what the word says. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So but I began to think, and I marinated, and I meditated on the fact that I'm just a sinner. I'm just a mess up. I'm just a mess up. And then I'm that accusing voice of condemnation that I just read about, that accusing voice was speaking on a loop in my head over and over and over again. But the case is closed, Paul said, and it all has to do with the fact that I'm joined in life union with Jesus. I'm in a union with Jesus that is unlike any relationship that I have. And by the way, it affects all of my other relationships, because I've always known that I could have a relationship with Jesus, but I knew him as Savior. Yes. I always knew him as Savior because he always needed to save me. He didn't just need to save me that one time from sin. He needed to constantly save me from the messes that I was in, from the collisions that I was getting myself in. He needed to constantly save me. So because he needed to save me all the time, I needed a Savior. And I needed to know constantly that I had a Savior because, oh, Jesus, I need you. I need you. But when I begin to understand that my life is in life union with Jesus, and I begin to understand that I'm under the law of the Spirit of life that flows from the anointing of Jesus, and that law has liberated me from the law of sin and death, because God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish, because the law was limited by the weakness of human nature. Yet God sent us his Son in human form to identify with human weakness. Clothed with humanity, God's Son gave his body to be the sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and power of sin. So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the anointed one, capital A, capital O, the anointed one, which is Jesus, living his life in us. And we are free to live not according to our flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. So you begin to understand, as you develop in this relationship, you begin to understand that you're not a sinner, that you're not a man who's stuck in human weakness or a woman that's stuck in humanity. You are a child of the Most High God. You're a son and a daughter. God's DNA is in you. And you can identify with, as you want to, if you want to, you can identify with the person that was a drug addict, the person that had affairs, the person that cheated, the person that lied, the person that did that wrong and had that criminal record and had that credit report. All of those things, you can continue to associate yourself with that and align yourself with that and really buy into that. My ride's coming to get me. You hear it? Yeah, there's my ride. Well, you can't see it, but anyway. So you begin to understand that I can identify as that person if I want to. You know, once a cheater, always a cheater. Why do I always have a redneck voice? Whenever I talk like religious people, I always talk with a redneck voice, and they're varying accents all over the world that believe a different gospel and preach a different gospel. They preach a different gospel than this gospel. They preach a different gospel than the finished work. They preach that a work is still in progress in your life, that you still need to work, that you still need to do things. You still need to live holy, and you still need to make sure that you don't sin and make sure that you do good stuff. And you need to constantly be aware of your sin, and you need to constantly be aware that you don't mess up. Be on guard, be on guard, be on guard. And by the way, always living in a spirit of warfare. There's warfare, there's demons, there's warfare, there's demons. And listen, I've lived that life for so long. Instead of realizing that it is finished, and all that's happening in the world, even hurricanes, tornadoes, storms, as well as the calamity that's happening in cities and nations around the world, poverty, all of these things, is the earth groaning for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. So I've made a decision to start manifesting. I've made a decision to fully buy in to my identity. And I'm going to talk about this in several videos, starting with this one that you're watching today. I want you to understand that who you are is who God says you are. You're not a slave. You're not a prisoner. And I know what you did was unthinkable. It's embarrassing. You were raised differently. You knew better. If you're like me, very few of my sins were private. Or they didn't stay private, for sure. I've lived most of my life in the public. I've lived most of my life in front of people, radio audiences, church, large churches, a music career, whatever it was. I always had a public life. So when you live a public life, when you fall into some calamity or you fall into some hole, people know, people see it. And it's not just the shame of knowing that you messed up and knowing that you sinned or knowing that you violated a relationship or violated your relationship with God or your relationship with yourself or whatever it is. It's not just that, but it's the fact that people are accusing. They're accusing you. They're getting in on the gossip. They're getting in on the conversation. And I know what that feels like. I'm sorry you felt it. I'm sorry you've experienced it. I'm sorry that pain has been a reality in your life. But I want you to know today that you're forgiven and that you're free. You're forgiven and you're free. The Son has set you free. And if the Son, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. That's absolute freedom. 100% freedom. That is your life. Jesus catches the woman, the men in town catch the woman in the act of adultery. They catch her in the act of adultery. What happens? They're ready to stone her until Jesus walks on the scene. Jesus walks onto the scene. She didn't ask for his forgiveness. She didn't pray a prayer. She didn't pray the sinner's prayer. She didn't sign a card. She didn't agree to sign up for discipleship classes. She didn't become a partner. In that moment, Jesus said, where are those that condemn you? They're nowhere. Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, sin no more. That's how Jesus responds to sin. Jesus isn't shocked or horrified by what you've done or what you've thought about doing. He's not up there freaking out somewhere. He's not walking around with I'm just disappointed. That's all. I'm just disappointed. He's not walking around angry at you. He loves you. And his plan for your life is not what you're in right now. His plan for your life is beyond this. But you're going to have to pick up your bed and walk. You're going to have to choose to turn away and walk away from all of that. All of it. Not just the behavior, but to walk away with the idea that that's who you are. Are you really a drug addict? Is that who you really are? Is that who God says you are? Are you a person who is unfaithful in your marriage? Is that who you are? Is that who God says you are? Are you a person that is bound by depression and anxiety? Is that how God designed you? Is that God's plan for you? Of course it's not. Of course it's not. It's not God's plan for you. So in the name of Jesus, come out. Come out. I command every demon to come out in the name of Jesus. I feel the power of God. I command every demon to let go of you in Jesus' name. I command every accusing spirit to be silenced in Jesus' name. I call you out of patterns of destruction. I call you out of patterns of the feeling of worthlessness, the feeling of sin and iniquity. I call you into a life of freedom, a life of grace, a life where you understand that you're already free. You're already forgiven. God's not waiting to forgive you. He's already done it. He did it long before you were ever born. So all you need to do in our act of repentance and all these things that we do, it's not for God, it's for you. It's about saying, okay, that's it. I'm walking a new path. I'm going to take a new trail. I'm going to be who God actually designed me to be. So I speak freedom over your life. I speak peace over your life. I speak joy over your life. I call your life into order. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I call you into freedom. I call you into deliverance. I call you into prosperity. Yes, prosperity. I call you into abundance, a life of abundance. Oh, abundant joy, abundant peace, abundant sleep, abundant laughter, abundance of money. Absolutely. You think God wants you to be poor? Can you help anybody if you're poor? Are we destined to stay poor? Absolutely not. Not if we're going to serve God. We're going to need money. And so if you've sown money into my life, into my ministry, and our ministry, thank you. By all means, keep doing that. Thank you very, very much. You can do it by PayPal, Cash App, Venmo. You can send it in the mail. You can send a carrier pigeon. I don't know. Thank you for that. We'll feed the hungry. We'll help people that are in addiction walk into freedom. We'll help people that are in desperation walk into light and hope. Absolutely. And if you don't want to give it to us, no problem. Give it to somebody. Give it to the people that need it. This is your time. Come out of darkness into His marvelous light. Wake up out of the sleep that you've been in. Come out of the dark hole into the light. It's your moment. The best is yet ahead of you. I promise you. It's not just a saying. It's not a Hallmark greeting card, phrase. It is absolutely 100% truth. The best is ahead of you. I speak favor over your life. I speak peace. I speak abundance. I speak joy. And I more than ever pray that you will know that you're loved, that you're celebrated, and that you'll be surrounded by people who reiterate that to you. You may have to find a new church. You may even have to find some new friends, a new neighborhood, a new job, whatever. At the end of the day, living in peace is worth it. Being who God says you are is worth it. I wish you well. Anything I can do for you, any way that we can possibly serve you, please let me know. All right? God bless you.